Okay, so, right, so we find out in Vayigash, right, in Perek, this is Perek Mamvav, Pasuk Chedonon, that Reilu Shmuel ben Yisrael by Mitzrayim, my Yaakov, Banav, Bechor Yaakov Ruvein, and then we get the whole lineage of the Jewish people. And then, you know, you skip forward after we get all the people who come down and the detailed description. So then you find out that, right, it works out well for them. And while it's not working out for anybody else, right, this is what I'm not going to talk about, but while it's not working out for anybody else, while everybody else is losing their land, everybody else is being shifted around, losing their identity, ironically, the Jews, who are the immigrants, are the ones who are, well, not ironically, but politically, not politically, a good situation, right? That's about all I'll say on this, right? This is what many sort of modern scholars have pointed out, that the seeds to, on a political sense, to the Jews being enslaved, is the fact that the Jews are the immigrants who managed to literally usurp the wealth and land of the country, while the citizens are losing their land and being shunted around. So when you get to Sefer Shmot and Paro says, look, these people are growing the land, taking everything from us, and might be the enemies, he's actually saying that from a rational perspective. That's actually what they've done until this point. Right? It's Vayakam El Chadash on the time Asher Lo Yadat Yosef. He didn't remember, right? He doesn't think about the background to it, that Yosef was saving everybody and this was necessary and his family was getting a little bit of largesse, which, okay, in context you could forgive. By this point, all you have are immigrants who managed to settle on the land, Vayechazuba, right, which is what you get towards the end of the Parsha. Right, and in perhaps the most striking moment, right, in the whole parsha, what you get is as follows. Right, in Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, Vayomru El Paro Lagur Baretz Banu Kein Mero Mir Ed Latzona Shel Avadech Goveda Rab Baretz Beretz Kanan Vata Yishvun Avadech Beretz Goshen. They come to Paro and they say, we came to sojourn, right? Lagur, meaning we came to be temporary. We came to be, right? We're here on work visas, right? We're here on whatever, on emergency, whatever. We're not here. We don't need to be here permanently. But Paro says, no, Eretz Mitzrayim lefanecha hu b'mei tav aretz hoshev et avicha. Right? No, I don't want you to be temporary. Right, I want you, right, this is consistently throughout Chumash, the difference between Ger and Toshav. Right? They say we want to be Gerim, we only want to be immigrant, temporary, we don't want citizenship, we're not here for the long run, and Paro insists, and he says, no, I want you to be permanent, and I want you to live Eretz Goshen, B'mitav Haaretz, I want you the best land. And that's what allows them, again, despite the fact that everybody else is in chaos. If you skip, right, all the way to the end of Perek Mem Zayin, after you find out that in Pasuk Chaf, right, in Mem Zayin Chaf, Vayiken Yosef, they call it Mat Mitzrayim LeFaro, Kimachru Mitzrayim Yishadim, Kichazak Olay Marav, Atiyaret LeFaro, right, that Yosef bought the whole land for Paro because the Mitzrayim sold their land, and so everything now belongs to Paro. That Am Hadir Oto LeArim Mikzei Gvul Mitzrayim LeKatzei, when the people of Mitzrayim he moves around. You skip the pasuk Chof Zayin, and you get Vayashav Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen Vechazuva Vayifru Vayibumod. The Jews, in contrast, settle, take hold in the land, and they have a population explosion. Right? So this is totally, it makes no sense. It's ironic, right? It's the right. Everything is topsy turvy, right? It's, or as in the lashon of Chazal. Right, it's Yitziva Be'ara V'Giora B'Shmei Shmaya. Right, Rashi has two interpretations. One is you're standing on the ground and the arrow is in heaven. Right, but then he notes in the second interpretation that it's just an anti-immigrant thing. Right, meaning it's Yitziva Be'ara. The citizen is stuck on the ground, the giora b'shmeishmaya, and the ger, the immigrant, manages to make it to the heavens. Right? That's not the way the world is supposed to work. Right? Politically correct or not, it's just not the way the world normally works. Right? But that's exactly what happens here, literally. It's siva b'ara. Right? The citizens are stuck. Right? At the bottom, the giora, and the people who came lagur b'shmeishmaya. I mean, right?
But this is the history of Jews, though. They
oh, for sure.
They're invited.
And there's a reason. There's a reason that there are a lot of modern people that look at this and say, you know, this is where the anti-Semitism starts in Mitzrayim that gets you to smoke politically. Right? Leaving aside the religious one.
Right.
Meaning, how does God, you know, however you want to take it, right? But how does God, you know, drive the Hashkacha such that the Jews become enslaved? Right, this situation, whether or not Yosef is culpable for it, right, is an interesting question that you know, a lot of moderns try to get in on, right? Meaning, even if you recognize this with the political background, is it Yosef's fault, right? Or is it just, that's what happened?
I mean, I don't know why Yosef would be at fault here, as opposed to Bnei Israel, who the ones that were enslaved eventually allowed themselves to be enslaved.
No, meaning for creating that, the enmity. Meaning for treating the Egyptians the way he did, while simultaneously treating his family the way he did. Meaning that enmity that started, right, is it just the way God wanted it? Right? Is this just the way God orchestrated the political events, or is it at some level actually a punishment to Yosef for right? That's what I'm not going to talk about. Correct. That's what I'm not going to talk about. Right? But just to sort of throw out there the ideas that people are talk about on this, so now I got that out of my system, right? But the question is, okay, fine, but why did it have to happen this way? Right? Meaning, you read it and you realize how counterintuitive this is, how politically dangerous this is, right? How explosive this is. So why did God say, hundreds of years ago, right, this is going to be the way this has to happen? Right? Why does he say you've got to leave and you've got to go through this situation? What is the logic? So Yoni Grossman suggests that the key to it is in what most people think is the least important parak in all of Sefer Bereishit. Right? What is... Right, okay, that's like right. As much as you're not supposed to say this, right? The modern Aaron says you're not supposed to say this, right? I like one piece of Torah, more than another piece of Torah. I don't like a piece of Torah. I'm not saying that, but if I had to guess, right, which parak do people just, especially because Bereishit is exciting?
Told it
Esav, yeah, exactly. Parak Lamed Vav in Bereishit is the parak that nobody understands the point of it, right? Like they just don't get it. Right? Right? You get a whole parak Lamed Vav, just back in by Yishlach.
And then Rory, yeah.
Yeah. So, but Yoni Grossman points out, if you want to understand Vayigash, you have to understand the most boring parak in Tanakh. Why? So he says, if you look at first glance, it sounds insanely boring, right? But he says, read it carefully and watch what happens. He says, Ve'ele toldot Esav u'edo. Right? These are the children of Esav. Esav lakach et nesha v'mino kinaan. So he takes his wives from the Bnei Kanaan. Right, Ada, who's a Chiti, Ali Vama, who's a Chivi, Vet Basma, but Yishmael Achot Nevayo, Batela Dalai Sabinelli Fazbotsma, Yolda Ruel, Vali Vama, Yolda Yush, Vet Yalam, Vet Korach, Il Bene Sabash, and Yildu Loberts Kanaan. These are the children of Esav that are born in Canaan. Vayikach Esav et nashav et banav et banav et kol nashav et tov et mikneu et kol bem tov et kol kinno sherachash beret Canaan. Vayelch el eret v'pnei Yaakov echav. He takes everything he owns, his animals, his family, and he goes, right? Because of Yaakov. Ki ayaruch usham rav, yishevet yachdav, v'lo yachlar, v'reim l'seidot tam, v'pnei mikneyam. Right, because he couldn't live with Yaakov, so they split. So where does he go? Vayeshev Esav, Har Seir, Esav u'Edom. And Esav goes to Har Seir, which is Edom. So now, first of all, everyone looks at this, okay, that's great, right? Eight psukim, Esav, that's already a lot of psukim to Esav's children. But then it gets worse, because Pasuk Tet is Ve'ilat Toldot Esav Aviedom, Har Seir. These are the children of Esav, the father of Edom and Har Seir, which is weird for two reasons. First of all, if you're telling me Toldot Esav, you don't pause in the middle and start Eila Toldot Esav again. Right? The second thing that's weird is that, and we mentioned this a few months ago if you were here, but Sefer Bereishit is Sefer HaToldot. Right? There are 10 toledot throughout the Sefer, which define the history of the world from the beginning till the Jewish people. Right? The first one is Ve'ele toledot ha'shamayim ba'aretz v'hi baram, is the heaven and earth itself. Right? Then you get Adam, right? You get Noah, right? You get these important people. Nobody, not heaven and earth, not Adam, not Avram, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not nobody gets two toledot. Nobody ever gets Ve'ele toledot twice. Right? You got 10 times in the Sefer Bereishit, and Esav is the only person who gets it twice. So first of all, why do you need it twice? Second of all people is going to get it twice. Why is it Esav gets it twice? And what is this doing? And I don't understand. If we're talking about toledot Esav, so what is going on that we pause in the middle? And it's even worse, because Pasuk Aleph was Ve'ele toledot Esav hu Edom. These are the children of Esav. He is Edom. Then Pasuk Ted is Ve'ele toledot Esav avi Edom. Right? This is the children of Esav, the father of Edom. Right? Before he is Edom, now he's not Edom. He's only the father of Edom. Right? So he gets two. Why does he get two? And why are they of different people? Why in one place is Esav identified in Edom, and one is just the father of the Edomite people? So you continue and you find out, well, Elishmo ben Esav, Eliphaz ben Adasher Esav, Eshet Esav, Ruel ben Basman Eshet Esav. Well, you ben Eliphaz, Teman, Omer, Tzvo, Begatam, Kunas. But Timnai, Tav, Pileg, Esh, Eliphaz ben Esav. But Tele, Eliphaz, and Amalek, Elib ben Adasher Esav. Ben ben Erel, Nachav, Azev, Shaman, Mizad, Lo, you ben Basman Eshet Esav. The Elo, you ben Eliphaz, Mabar, and Abad, Sivon, Eshet Esav, Vetele, Eliphaz, and Yush, Vedialam, and Karach. Right? And then you get this added weirdness that you get Ahalivama twice. Right? Not only do we have two lists, not only is one Esav and one Avi Edom, right? Esav Edom, the other one is Esav Avi Edom, you also get repeats between them, right? Which is just, right? It continues to make this bizarre. But what's the key? Right? So the key starts in Perek, in Pasuk, Tet Vav. Right, which is, it picks up and it says, Eile alufei b'nei Esav b'nei Eliphaz b'chor Esav aluf teman aluf omar aluf tzvo aluf kinas. Right? The pasuk then tells you, wait a second. Just know, this isn't only the children of Esav. What is this? This is the birth of a nation. Right? These children become alufim. They become chieftains, or however you want to define it. Aluf Korach, aluf Katam, aluf Amalek, elofei Eliphaz, be'eretz Edom. Eile b'nei Adar. And then you find out, so why is this, right? Why are there two lists? Because what's list one? List one is Esav's family. List two tells you, by the way, Esav's family isn't just Esav's family. This becomes Alufei Esav, the Eretz Edom. This is the beginning of a nation, right? Ve'eile b'nei Ruel b'nei Esav, Aluf Nachal, Aluf Zerach, Aluf, etc., etc., etc. Eilal fei Ruel b'eretz Edom. And then pasuk Yudchet, Eil b'nei Alivamai she'esav aluf Yush aluf Yalam aluf Korach Eil v'alivamai baranai she'esav Eil b'nei Esav Eilif aluf Ehem u'adom. But then in pasuk Chav, right, the pasuk takes a detour and says, and Eilev v'nei Seir, these are the children of Seir. Now who's Seir?
The people that were there.
The people who were there already. Right? Then he moves to Edom. And the pasuk tells you, you know why Edom is the difference than Afi Edom? Because there's Esav's family, that's the first seven psukim, eight psukim. Then there's Esav as the father of Edom. But guess what? Edom isn't Esav's children alone. It's Esav integrating into Seir. Right? He's building a nation in two ways. Right? There's two ways he builds. One is through children, the other is through right? Intermarriage and alliance. So then you find out Pasuk Chav, by the way, right? How does he become Edom? Right? How does he become a nation? He doesn't become a nation simply by having children. There's two parts. He has children, and those children intermarry. And once they intermarry, Eliv and Esir, Hachori, Yoshvei Haaretz, Lotan Yeshoval, Bisivon Va'ana. And now these names should start to sound familiar because these are people in his families. Right? Sivon and Ana. Right? These are right the parents of his wives. Right? The families of his wives. Dishon Eitzer, Dishon Eilal, Fechori, Ben Esir, Etzadon. And you skip down to Chav Dalet, Beilu Bnei Sivon, Vayah, Vana, Huana, Sher Matzai, Eben by Marbara, Torah Moran, Litzivon Aviv. And then Pasuk Chav Hei, Beilu Bnei Ana, who are the children of Ana, Dishon, Vali Vama Barana. Right, that woman who comes up all the time, Vali Vama, right, comes up twice. Right? Why is she the mother of all these Alufim? Because she's on once, she marries Esau, but she's from the royalty or whatever, she's of the chieftains of the people already living in Seir. And what's the upshot? What happens, right? Predicted, right? If Esav moves to Seir, he has a bunch of kids. But then we start again. We say, you know what? Not only did they have kids, he had kids who became chieftains. And you know how they became chieftains? Because they intermarried. Right, intermarried into local powers. What happens if you're a big, successful family, wealthy, politically powerful, and you intermarry? What happens? Two things. First,
you're either thrown out, or you are.
Or you become. Yeah, you become more powerful. You become assimilated. And you become powerful, right? You become accepted into majority culture,
right.
And you take your rightful place in the culture. So what happens? Pasuk Lamed Aleph tells you, Ve'eila melachim asher malchu beretz Edom, lifnei malach melech lifnei Yisrael. These are the kings in Edom before there was a Jewish king. And everybody asks the question, what does that even mean? Right? Meaning, right? This is where all the Bible critics go crazy, right? And Ibn Ezra is already bothered by this. Right? What do you mean before there was a Jewish king? Right? Chumash is closed hundreds of years before there's a Jewish king. How many kings do you think there are? Right? Is this Nevuah? Is it telling you a laundry list of all the kings of Edom all the way until Malchut Yisrael? But Yoni Grossman points out, that's not the simple pshat. What's the simple pshat? This isn't a laundry list. Right? This isn't telling you every king that's ever going to exist in Edom until Shaul. Right? What's it telling you? He's telling you that Esav was so successful that before the Jews were a nation, such that they could think of kingship, Esav intermarried into the chieftains. So within a few generations, so he personally didn't have a million children. He didn't personally have the right to be a king. There wasn't a nation to be the king of. But it didn't matter. He intermarried into the Seir, into the local powers that be, and within 2-3 generations, his grandchildren, who were on one side from him, the other side from the chieftains of the local powers, they became the kings of this already extant monarchy that existed in Seir, because of course it was going to happen that way. And then you get the whole thing, right? You get the whole thing.
Which is often not the approach of nature, because they had the approach in Shrem they could have taken if they wanted to take that approach.
Well, perfect.
Right.
Right? Perfect.
No, that's not the approach of nature chose. They had that option in Shrem.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And that's what Yoni Grossman points out. Right? So Yoni Grossman points out, and he said, wait a second. I'll repeat it. Right? Yoni Grossman points out that this, once you read Perek Lamed Vav carefully, it should start setting off bells. Right? Because you look at it and you say, wait a second. Esav moved to Seir. And he starts off as a nobody. Right? With a few wives, a few kids. 2-3 generations later, Edom, the person, becomes Avi Edom, the father of a nation. And who is that nation? It's not his children. It's not his children. It's some of his children. It's some Kori. It's some people who were. It's all these local tribes that, between a bunch of political alliances, slowly coalesce into this nation called Edom. And suddenly, once there's a nation called Edom, and Esav is like the patriarch, you know, one of the patriarchs anyways. So there are milachim, right? That's the end of Perek Lamed Vav, right? The last pasuk is Aluf Magdil Aluf Iram El Alufei Edom Lemosh Rotam Peretz Achuzatam Hu Esau of Avi Edom, right? So by the end, it turns out, hey, Esau is the patriarch of the nation of Edom. It happens like that, right? three, four generations, and he has a million people in his family. How? Right? You don't need to pull any magic, right? This is the magic numbers, right? The Jews, we got to figure out how do we get from 70 to 600,000 men in 200 years. We got to start playing math. Asa doesn't have to do any math, right? It's very easy. Come in, integrate, and suddenly you buy yourself a local population. So Yoni Grossman points out, yeah, great. This should start setting off, right? Bells in your head, and you should realize, wait a second, I've heard this before. The Jews were offered the same thing, right? And that was in Shem. They come into Shem, right? Hamor comes to him with a deal, comes with a proposition. And he says, listen, right? My daughter, my son loves your daughter. See, listen. Look, come with us. You'll marry us. We'll marry you. We'll become one nation. We'll do business with you. You'll business with me. It'll all be great. It'll all be fine. Right? And then if you look back, what does he say to him? Right? He says to him, look, this is Perek Lamed Dalek, Pasuk Chet. Vayidaber Chamor Itam Lemor. Shchem b'nish chashkan afsho b'vitchem. Chamor said to them, look, my son Shchem loves your daughter. Tenuna ota lo lishas, let them marry. Vitchatnu otanu b'notichem, titnu lanu b'notinu tikulachem. And you'll marry us, we'll marry you. Vitanu tishevu. And then what's the upshot? You'll intermarry with us, so you'll go from Ger to Shav. Right? Vitanu tishevu v'aretz yelef nechem. Right, marry into a political family, and that's it. You're made. The land will be yours. Shvu, secharu, avechazufa. Right, come, do business. It'll be great. So they had the option. So here, Yoni Grossman points out, wait a second. Let's think about it for a moment. Asa manages to become a nation very rapidly. Except, what was the cost? Right, what's the cost of becoming a nation in three generations? You lose your identity. Right? The only way to jump the gun is to intermarry and to become not your own nation, right? But to become a successful immigrant. Right? This is the American dream. You come, first generation is an immigrant, second generation is an immigrant, by the third generation, nobody knows. Right? Nobody knows you came from somewhere or else, right? You're a founding father, right? Nobody cares where you came from anymore. Right? You married the local people, you married the right people, you started a business empire, right? You're living the American dream and that's it. But you're living the American dream, right? You're not living the whatever else dream. You're living the American dream.
Because of the American dream, there's about 5 or 6 million Jews in America today. They should have been, by normal birth rate, and over 80 million Jews in America today.
Well, that's
the amount of Jews that were 1920 in America.
Well, that's the cost, right? Meaning, when a country welcomes you in, now, for some people, they don't care. Right? For a lot of people, they don't care. Right? Again, even if we leave aside Jewishness for a second. Right? A lot of people, they don't care. That's why they come to America. Right? They come to America because, right, maybe they want token, right? Token. They want to remember they came from Italy. So they'll go to Olive Garden. Sure. Right? Right? A taste of home, whatever their motto is, or whatever, right? Taste of Italy. But that's it. Right? A few Italian culture, and, you know, whatever, we're American. Right? Dude, no one, they don't care, right? It's not like they have no. They become, you know, like Esau. Right? They tell stories about their grandfather came over from Italy, the patriarch of the family, right? He came so that his family could live the American dream. Everybody married whoever they did. They made successful businesses. Boom! 50 years later, everyone's like, it was a great decision. He came, he made all the right decisions. Right? Nobody, they don't want to go back and build their own nation. That was the point. They came here. Now, in the Harami, Jews did the same thing, right? And Jews who did that, they assimilated, right? But you read Perek Lamed Vav and you realize that's exactly what Esau did. Esau left Israel. Well, no, not really left Israel, right? Esau picked an area within Israel, on the outskirts of Israel, right outside of Israel, whatever, Har Seir, right? Okay. He marries the local people, and he becomes a nation overnight. And he becomes the patriarch. Edom, within seven psukim, is not Edom anymore. He's out of the Edom. He's the father of this, you know, Edomite nation, which is a little bit of Edom, a little bit of Chori, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know.
But,
well, exactly. Yaakov is offered that. Right? Yaakov is offered that in Shem. And he turns it down.
He sends Yehuda to build Shiva.
Where does Chazal get that from? Right? Well, let's come back. We'll come to that midrash in a second. Right? What? Right. So now you come back to Vayigash, and now you realize, wait a second. Okay. But what happened? Right? The Jews. What would have happened if the Jews had not gone into Galut? Right? What would have happened if the Jews had not gone into Galut? Had not gone to Mitzrayim?
Eventually grow?
They would have grown, and how would they have grown?
Through... they probably would have.
They would have intermarried.
I mean, they had it.
They did.
I mean,
we know they did.
Right, that's my
Yehuda
point.
Yehuda did.
Right, that's my point.
Right? Right? Meaning, we already see it happening with the Jews. Right? This is not theoretical. You look. Right? Shimon.
Right?
Right? In Pshat, Shimon is marrying a Kanani. Yehuda is marrying local women. Right? They're all marrying local women. They're having local children. They have... Yehuda becomes a political leader, right, through his marriage and business alliance within one generation. Meaning, they turn it down in Shem, but despite that, it starts happening, right? The same pattern. And if you left the Bnei Yaakov in Eretz Israel, where they're not big enough to build a nation, and they're not big enough to self-perpetuate, and they're wealthy, and they're politically connected, then they may have turned it down in Shechem, but within three generations, you'll get the same thing.
No choice.
Yeah, no choice. Bnei Israel will marry some of the local people, and they'll become some mega political force that's nominally related to some patriarch named Yaakov, but their identity will be some amalgam of a little bit of Yaakov, a little bit of Canaan, a little bit of Chivi, a little bit of Breezy, whoever it is. So God says there's only one way out of that, and that is to shove you out of Israel, but not just anywhere, to a place that will hate you and won't let you do it. Right? I mean, because otherwise, what guarantees they don't do it in Mitzrayim? He sends them to Mitzrayim, and we learn a lot about the Mitzri culture. Right? Exactly! Right? The Psukim throw out hints throughout the Yosef story. Right? First, they come to sit have a meal, and what does the Pasuk say? They can't eat at the same table! Because they don't eat with Ephraim! Right? They don't like Ephraim!
My question was, when I learned that, you know, this week, 2 weeks ago, why did the Mitzrayim hate the what was their hatred towards them? They didn't want the 70 people, and still they had they know about them to hate them.
There was no initial hatred.
What?
Right. They didn't eat together because they ate lamb.
Lamb. That's what it says. I learned it today.
Yeah, it's gastronomic. Right? It's gastronomic. Right? It's
lamb. It's lamb was their god.
Yeah. So they
knew that already.
Correct.
They
so
ate the
right. So they lamb. So they can't eat lamb.
It's strong.
Right. But the parsha, all the Yosef parsha start throwing out hints. Right. Why is it that the Jews go to Mitzrayim specifically? Because this can't happen in Mitzrayim. They can't eat bread with them. And then Yosef comes and says, I got a plan. Right? I got a plan. Right? What does he tell them? Again, now back to our parsha. He says to his brothers, I got an idea for you. Right? I got an idea for you, and the idea that I have is the opposite of the American dream. Right? He tells them, but listen to his language. His language is striking. Right? He says, I want you to do this. He says, Vayat This is Perek Mem Vav, Lamed Gimel. V'haya ki yikra lachem paro v'amar ma'aseichem. When Paro asks you, what do you do? V'amartem anshei mekadeh hayu avodecha minu reinu. Tell him you've always been a shepherd. Right? Minu reinu v'arata. Gam anachnu gam avodinu. Ba'avur teishvu be'eretz Goshen. So he'll force you to go to Goshen. Ki tovad mitzrayim kol ro'ei tzom. Because they hate you people. Right? What kind of advice is that? Right? Let them find out later. Right? That they're Roi Tzom. But no, Yosef says, come, go to Paro, and the first thing I want you to tell him is that you are Roi Tzom, so that he'll banish you to Goshen. Because the Mitzrim hate you. Right? He says, go. Right? Go to Goshen, so that you will remain separate. You'll remain a minority. You'll remain a non-intermarriageable minority who's geographically and culturally distinct and disliked by the majority culture. Right? Why is Yosef telling them that? Because Yosef wants to make sure. Because the danger exists as much as it did in Canaan as does Mitzrayim. Right? Meaning, think about it. Ostensibly, right? Sure, they leave Eretz Israel, now they come to Mitzrayim. This is going to prevent intermarriage. Really? Yosef is the viceroy. Right? If it could happen to Esav within three generations because he married a bunch of chieftains, right, the daughters of a bunch of chieftains, it could happen to Yaakov's family where they're coming in as family to the second in command.
Is it important that they remain a minority? Is that an important piece, or is it as long as they're separate?
So what's the key? So here's the key. It's important they remain a minority until
they're ready to leave.
Until they're big enough to self-perpetuate.
That's what I'm saying. Is that like what's
right? They don't have to remain a minority, right? They have to remain distinct.
Couple generations,
right? Yeah, right. A couple generations enough to build a nucleus that is self-perpetuating.
Right.
Once they do that, then they're great. Then they're set.
That's why maybe they mentioned Benjamin and Butler. They already have children that can marry each other.
That's exactly the point, right? Now you realize, why do we hear the list? Mm-hmm. Right? Why do you hear the list invite Yigash? Right? Why invite Yigash?
Everyone's connected, all right? So close. Yeah.
And because you're about to describe how this nucleus is going to grow, right? Here's the laundry list, right? Before, maybe you'd intermarry, right? They were intermarrying in Canaan. But now, the pasuk tells you there's no intermarriage going on here. They're banished to Goshen. Who are they marrying? They're marrying in their circle, right? This is it, right? This is your core group. They're going to start marrying each other and their cousins, right? Because that's the only people around, and therefore you want to know where Bnei Israel is going to come from. It's not Yisrael plus Aluf Timnah, right? Timnah, Ahaliv Aman, all those people, right? Like Esav. This is it, right? This is your core. They're going to Goshen, and they're going to do it there. And what does the pasuk tell you, right? The pasuk tells you everybody else, Yosef is moving around. Everybody else is moving from one place to the other. Identities are being shifted, right? Meaning the whole country, this is like the perfect time to move in. If you're an immigrant, this is the perfect time to move in. Everybody else's identity is being thrown into chaos. So if you come in, no one will notice.
And everyone else is an immigrant.
Yeah, everyone else is an immigrant, right? Yosef makes everybody else an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So you'd say, you want the American dream? This is perfect. Right? Think about America, right? Forget the 20th century, 19th century, right? How do people make their fortunes? If you were an immigrant and you decided to go out west, so whoever made it, whoever didn't make it, right? Everyone's going to new land, whoever showed up, got their land, they did what they did, either you were successful or you didn't. You went to the California Gold Rush, whatever you did, right? Who cared, right? You made your own future. If you want to be an immigrant, that's a perfect time to move in. Right, there's chaos and everyone's being moved around from city to city, and the pasuk comes and tells you, irony of ironies, this is the time when an immigrant could integrate into society, because suddenly everyone is an immigrant. Everyone's the same, in the same boat. And the irony is that because the Jews are the royal family, and because they're Roi Tzom, they're banished to Goshen, and they're given money from the kingdom, from the king's coffers, and therefore they don't have to move around, and instead, while everyone else is moving around, Vayechazu Baretz, so they can settle down in the land and build their family while everybody else is doing whatever they're doing. So the Pasuk tells you, right? So what is the story of Vayigash? Right? Vayigash is the opposite of Reshit Lamed Vav. It's Esav was so successful right off the bat. He was so successful, he integrates, he marries, he becomes a nation within no time at all. And the cost is small. The cost is he loses his identity. And he becomes the father of this amalgam of peoples that becomes known as Edom. So he's the technical patriarch, but he doesn't shape its identity. Its identity is whatever its identity is. A little bit of him, a little bit of them. No. Hashem says, I want you to be a nation with a different identity. If not possible, the Derech HaTeva, for you to become a nation, if you live in a society that's going to accept you and let you intermarry, and you're going to be forced to intermarry.
We see it today.
Right?
Bid you? Recently with the Iranian Jews. In Iran, they all say this. If you know the community, I'm from L.A., so I'm from L.A., and they, a lot of Iranians, they say, in Iran, the Muslims force us to be Jewish. We had to be Jewish. We couldn't intermarry. We couldn't do anything. We were absolutely forced to be religious and Jewish because the Muslims were religious and Jewish.
Same thing as
so they moved to LA. Now they're all intermarrying.
And
they made a huge intermarriage problem. Which made Jewish. So second generation.
Exactly. So he says, you open Vayigash, and then you realize that's why you have to be here. Mm-hmm. Because Hashem orchestrated the situation. We had to go into Galut, not to anywhere. We had to go to Mitzrayim, to the country where Kilo Yachlo et Ivrim Lechem, they can't eat with you. Where Yosef tells them the secret to your success is let them hate you. A little bit. Enough that you get shunted off into your own little city. Right? Fine. And then what will happen? You will marry within yourself.
Which is the Gullah mentality.
Which is the Gullah mentality. That's exactly the point. He says, you gotta build yourself in the Gullah mentality. Because until you're big enough. Because now, let's just play it out quickly, because we don't have so much time. I'll play it out. Then what happens? When do you get to go back to Eretz Israel? When you have enough people that you determine the identity of the country when you get back. You're not going to come in small. You're going to come in 600,000 strong. And when you march in 600,000 strong, right? You don't come in and say, who can I marry? You come in and say, this is my place. Right? This is my country. It looks the way I want it to look. Right? And you can do that. Now, where did Chazal get the notion? Right? Now, come back. Where is the Midrash coming from? That Yaakov sends Yehuda ahead to build Batei Midrash in Goshen. It comes from this. What is it the Midrash saying? Yaakov says, if I'm going down to Galut to build a nation, and that's why Hashem is sending me here to build a nation. Right? Now, right, we could read it, we don't have much time, but this is really what he tells him in his Nebuah. Right? Is I'm going to be with you in Galut, and you'll build your nation in Galut. Well, again, what's the logic? Why are you building Galut? Because there you can forge a minority identity, and then when you're big enough, you can use it to forge majority identity back in your own country. So the Midrash says, so what did he, when it clicks to Yaakov, why am I being sent into Galut? Why am I not allowed to build my nation here? And he realizes the answer is because in order to stamp the identity of Israel onto Eretz Israel, I need to enter as a nation. So the Midrash says, he sends Yehuda to build Batei Midrash. What does that mean? Because he realizes Goshen is going to be the place where he's going to be able to inculcate the values of Israel. So that, I think that's what the Midrash is saying, right? Not Batei Midrash per se, right? Meaning he's sending you ahead to start setting up cultural centers, right? Set up what we need to build what we're going to be. Right? And that's when you realize, let's see, we have like 2 minutes. So like that is the, right? This is the Nevuah that Yaakov gets on his way, right? On his way out, right? This is Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Bet. By Yomer Elohim L'Israel, B'Mardol Elohim Yaakov, 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 ויאמר אנוכי אל אבי איכלתי בא מאיר במצרים כמגוי גדול אשים חשב. Right, that's the middle. He said, don't worry that I'm kicking you out, because I'm going to make you a nation there. That's the key. Right, you're going there for a purpose, so that you're a nation. And Anochi Eredim Cham Mitzrayim, I'm coming with you. Vanochi Alcha Gamalo. And when it's time to come out, I'll come with you. Right, but what is he telling him? I'm with you, and I'm going to make you a nation. Right, that's the magic word. You're not. You're going down as a family, but you're going down so that you return to Eretz Israel, not as a family who faces intermarriage, but as a nation with an identity that can stamp majority culture on Eretz Israel from day one. And that's the introduction to this parak. Right? Why is that nevuah the introduction to Eile Shemot B'nei Israel B'bim Mitzrayim? Because that's when it clicks for Yaakov. He says, oh, now I'm a family, but I'm going down to become a goy there. So who are the people that are going to go from Mishpacha Ka'am? The Eile Shemot B'nei Israel Abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names. These are the legends. Right? These are the people that we're going to tell stories about who started the family. Right? This is it. Right? These 70 people are those magic names on the family tree that explain how it all started. And that seems to be the drama of right why how the Jews, or why the Jews need to go into Galut, so that they don't become Esav. Right? So that they don't have instant success, which comes at the cost of identity. Right? They're forced to go to Galut, specifically to a place where they're hated, specifically to a place where they're going to be segregated, so that, as Hashem says, I can make you a nation before you come. Right? And then I'll come down with you and I'll bring you back. It clicks for Yaakov, and Yaakov says, oh, so whoever I'm taking now, this is it. This is my core group. From here we're building everything. The Eile Shemot B'nei Israel Abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the people. And from here on in, we intermarry with each other. From here on in, we build from within our own circle. Right? And that seems to be the answer. The Jews needed to go to Galut so they could form their identity and come back with enough people, with enough strength culturally and numerically to stamp their culture rather than assimilate the way Esav does. And that seems to be the contrast in the introduction. And obviously, right, then you get sort of the coda of Vayechi, and then you pick up a Shmo where it says, and here's how it happens. Okay.